for the morning to your pizza. You smoothie, me ice cold pizza. Cafe ole, latte da. You do the Zumba, but I do not. Give me like half a marathon. I'll give you the gospel of St. John. It's been like a wake up bomb. Cause we both know that it's mercy flows in the morning. I'm serious.
I know, without a shadow of a doubt, I know it was the blood for me. Come on and give him some praise. Come on and give him some praise. I know it was the blood.
Precious saving blood. What is written blood? some praise. Come on and give him a praise in here. Come on, come on, come on. How many know it was the blood? But don't take the bad hands together and say, I know it was the blood.
Father God, good morning, Lord Jesus, good morning, Holy Spirit, good morning, good morning, good morning. It is a good morning this morning, and I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood of Jesus. Good morning, Minister Hill.
Good morning, Dr. Erica, and good morning, Jesus believers on this TED line this morning. Ooh, I knew it was the blood also, and I thank God for his son. I thank God for his own Holy Spirit. I just thank God for all that I have the privilege to have known about and experienced and seen and heard about. I thank God for all that he is doing in this hour, in this season. I thank God. I just thank God for grace and mercy that he extends towards us all. It's available to all that would just receive it. Lord, I thank you for the blood.
Hallelujah.
For the blood shed for all. And I pray that more and more will come unto you, that none should be lost.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. 1 Corinthians 11, 23 through 26. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, lift up your bread. Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Lift up your cup. After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, it's the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. And again I say, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory, hallelujah to your name, God. Thank you. Amen. Amen.
God is worthy. He is so worthy. Brothers and sisters, yesterday I was in Florida. This morning I'm back home. And the reason I was in Florida is because God brought to my remembrance, because I asked him, you know, wow, God, what happened? But remember a while back, God had told me to go to Texas, put my feet on that soil, and I never made it. I had one excuse, then another, and then I had you all mail me all that dirt. But I had forgotten about the dirt. because I was under spiritual attack. And even in the attack, God was still delivering people, and God was still setting people free, because that's what God does. And because I am a servant, he was still going to do that. He was going to do that. Because, see, the Bible says that the gifts and the calling are without repentance, meaning you can be stone drunk, alcoholic, and if you have a gift, they'll still work. If you had a gift of prophecy, you can prophesy drunk. You can prophesy sober. But the key is the presence of God won't be on it. You'll be just operating out of the gift. And I know the difference. And I told God I would not want to be in ministry if I had to minister through the gift or through my gifts and my giftings. Because, brothers and sisters, I didn't come to God through no gifts, and I didn't come to God through any giftings. I came to God because he genuinely exercised at least about 1,000 demons. And over the years, more than that, out of me. He delivered me from a legion of demons. And I know what it feels like to be free. I know exactly what it feels like to be free. And I made the mistake of saying to God, and I know some of you out here probably have done the same thing, but I'm going to tell you. I said, God, send me the people just like me. I said, send me the hard cases. Send me the stubborn, the rebellious ones just like me, like I was before you set me free from that demonic bondage. And believe you me, that's what he sends me. And for the life of me, he sends people so bound up that when they get free, when you get really free, they don't want to remember what they got freed from. They don't want to remember what it took to get free. And they don't want to remember that they came to this ministry to be free from demonic possession, oppression, repression, suppression, and all of that. They forget. But you know what, brothers and sisters? I will never forget. I will never forget what the Lord Jesus did for me. And by my objective being to set God's people free, I won't minister when I'm under demonic attack, because I know spirits transfer. I know so much about this type of ministry. And I know that you can kill somebody. This is not a play-play ministry, and it's not religious either. It is the life-saving, soul-saving ministry for real. So therefore, whenever I get hit or whenever I see that there's some bondage on me, I go to God. I go to God straight up, and say, Lord, now you got to deliver me from this here. It ain't important that I know how it happened. It's not important that I know what demons are manifest. But I know that there's something oppressing me or there's something trying to oppress me, and I can't stand it. You see, brothers and sisters, once God has set you free and made you free, the one thing in life that you will fight to the death is that the devil is not able to take your freedom and your liberty in Christ away from you. You see, I'm not in this ministry I am in this ministry that God has given me for one reason. I learned a long time ago that there's more to God than just flapping off at the mouth. There's more to God when you say, come into my heart. But he says, believe on me. And you got to, I happen to believe that every word in the Bible is true. And I happen to know when I steer a little bit to the left, too far, or when I steer a little bit to the right, too far. And what I do, I don't know, everybody has their own way of demonstrating their love with God and for God. I just stop everything. Because I made a vow to God when I used to cast demons out on the street corners and at the subways. And God told me, he said, Erica, by casting them demons out everywhere, you doing the work for the devil. I said, oh, my God, how? He said, if you cast the demons out and the devil knows that they don't have anywhere to go to be built up, to be taught to know me, to be taught my ways. And he said, Erica, if you reconnect them to Jesus, Jesus will connect them to God. And it'll be a complete work. Are you with me this morning? It'll be a complete work. So you see, that's why my job, and truthfully my only job, is to get the soul set free, to get men and women connected to Jesus so that he can then reconnect them to God. So if there's any defilement that I recognize in myself, I go back to God. And I go back to him with my arm. Look here, God. I cannot be bound by these demons. I can't stand that. Because I know what it feels like. And to me, it is the worst. It is the most awful. It is the most debilitating thing to be oppressed, suppressed, repressed, which leads you to being depressed by demonic bondage, by demonic trash, by demonic garbage. And so what I wanted God to, I want to know, how did this happen? How did it happen? And guess what? I was going to go all the way back. Everything that I, see, God know how to get you to move. Everything that I could think of that God had told me to do that I had not done, I was going to go back. I was going to get it done. If I never did another radio program, if I never did anything, I just want to be right with God for real. For real. So I told Brother Joe, Jose, I said, look, the first thing I got to pay the devil back. And I knew it was some people that needed some demons to be cast out or whatever reason. And the first stop was Florida. Let me tell y'all what happened. The minute we, and I mean when we left here, it was storming so bad you couldn't even see. You couldn't even see. And Brother Joe is not a night driver. So I said, Jose, you're going to have to drive tonight. And Brother Joe going to have to drive. I said, I'm going to put my feet in on Texas soil like God told me to do. And the moment, listen, the moment we got in the car, in that rainstorm, couldn't hardly see. I don't know how he saw. I don't know, but I do know it was God. That's why, because let me tell you what happened. The minute we got out there in that rainstorm, now, what I didn't tell you was that Jessica and her family was here, and I still had, believe it or not, Christmas gifts. Remember I told you I had those Christmas gifts? I do. I did. When the thing started, it was taking me back. It was trying to bring me under subjection to the devil, but it'll never happen. It won't happen. Why? Because I'm sold out. I'm sold out. There's nothing I'm steward of. There's nothing I have that is not under God's sovereign grace. His sovereign grace. I'm looking at all, and I mean, I got situations coming at me. Not mine, mind you, but the people I minister to have situations that are unbelievable, unbelievably suppressive. Because you see, all the devil want to do is get you off God's plan, get you off God's destiny for your life and for what he called you to do. And I laughed because I thought about Adam and Eve, Genesis chapter 2. And I said, Satan came to Adam and Eve and told them he wanted to give them what they already had. He wanted to give them what they already had, and they had the best of it. So that was the first thing God brought to my remembrance. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And that's a spiritual precedent. And I have been fighting for Jose and just could not. And then realized, okay, that's the thief right there working. So I met with Jessica's family. They come to, what happened? Jessica's mama sent me some cookies. I like these cookies that she makes. I love them, actually. And she sent me a whole thing of them. And the last cookie she sent me, I didn't get them. So you see, when the devil sets you up, he doesn't do it under a situation right now. He works way, way in advance to set you up. So they brought the cookies over, and I saw the kids. I saw Nadia, I saw Jeremiah, and I got the cookies. So then the Lord say, look, remember all them Christmas gifts you forgot about? And I said, yeah, Lord, I'm sorry. So I had to try to think of everything God had told me to do that I didn't do. And I got those Christmas gifts out. I told Brother John Jose, look, we're going over to the hotel. We're going to deliver these Christmas gifts. And I remember when I was in the lobby, and I said, Merry Christmas. Big, loud in the lobby, and it started from there. Then I came back to the sanctuary, and I was praying to God. I was just praying to God. You see, there's something, brothers and sisters, that works through the love of God that cannot be, it can't even be known in the flesh. The power of God's love cannot, it's even hard to describe it to somebody. So then I had these email messages, and people were experiencing some oppression. And then one of my little 10-year-old twin members got oppressed because his mom and dad got a divorce, and the daddy is a Satanist. He's a musician. And he's a very good musician because he comes from a family of classical musicians. But the little twin got possessed because the daddy left Christ to go play for a rock band. And his girlfriend is a Satanist. Okay? And so it hit the 10-year-old. And I'm thinking, oh, God, got to get this baby free. So I talked to the mom. Then I'm telling you back, this hit me back to back to back. Then somebody else called me up, and I know this. God has allowed me to pray with his worst are always his best. Those people that I'm able to pray for to get free, they're generally God's best, because Satan doesn't have to do anything to what he already has. You understand that? So there's another person who is of African royalty background, for real, and the Dutch did something to her grandfather when they conquered their nation. They cut out his heart, cut off his tongue, and cut off his private area and took it back to Holland. So I'm praying with a person that God is using to rebirth a nation. And so God sends a man here. And this man has in him a demon, familiar spirit. Only it happened to his relative in Virginia. And the demon says, I was cut. And then he said, the demon demonstrated it was castrated. The human body in the person was castrated. Cut everywhere you could cut. And I told the demon, you're going to lose the man. All while fighting myself. But you see, I know I don't do anything, so I know it's God. And God set that man free. And when God set the man free right here, the man grew 2.5 inches. I didn't really believe him when he said, I'm taller. So I said, go to your doctor. I want to know, because I never seen anybody. I heard about it. Made 2.5 inches taller. Now, you got to understand, I'm up under all of this. A nation is about to be set free. And the same spirit God sent here is the same spirit that was operated on this African royalties grandfather when the Dutch conquered their region. So you think the devil ain't mad? The devil is furious. Furious. This is why some people can do 2 and 3 and 4 things. I can't. The responsibility that rests on me, along with the gifts and the giftings, signify that I can't. You see, God didn't just deliver me. I went through a serious exorcism. And I was a God-fearing Baptist, turned Pentecostal, turned missionary. Because my vow, or my relationship with God is, he knows I'm going to love him. He knows you love him. But the love is important, but what's more important to God? Will you serve him? And see, I told God, I'll serve you till I die. And I meant it. Because nobody had ever done for me what the Lord did for me. And you know, I don't even have enough time to tell all the things that God has done for me. All the ways and the myriad of ways that he has delivered me and keeps on delivering me. But you see, I didn't just leave it to God. I studied. I studied for 30 years how to serve God better in the ministry that he has given me. And that's why he could send somebody here to free a nation. He could send somebody here to free a family line, completely free a whole family line. He can send somebody here, and you know why he can send them here? Only one reason. I open up his door for him. When I said I serve you till I die, I meant that. I meant it, and I still do. So when something goes off, I know I got to humble myself before God, and I got to straighten it out. Don't let it go. I don't let it go another second. And believe you me, if you would have been in that storm we were in, you would have thought that the second was up. But I said, nope. And I felt it was African. It was a combination of a whole bunch of spirits that had come together. You see, whenever you're on the verge of a breakthrough, whenever you're on the verge of going to another level with Christ, whenever you're on the verge of God's promotion through whatever it takes, whenever the predator, because the devil is a predator, whenever the predator thinks that it has weakened you to any degree, It attacks. And it's always going to attack because the devil is a predator. It's always going to attack through the weakest link. It's always going to attack through the most wounded human soul it can find. And with me, it's plenty of them because I minister to them every day, day to day, back to back. and I minister without regard, I have so much confidence in God. Okay? I have, brothers and sisters, I have so much confidence in God you would not believe. It's supernatural. Because the confidence came from God and belongs to God. So what the devil did to me, he did a bait and switch. He baited me with the fact that God told me to establish prayer 24/7. And so then somebody came to me with an idea. Well, have you ever thought about a prayer network on TV? I did. I had thought about it. But I thought about it only from a standpoint of people calling in for prayer. You see, the backbone of any ministry is prayer. And I knew I was deficient in that area. Since the last time I had Jessica call people up and they volunteered to pray in different prayer blocks, there was a wall of prayer established. But I did not follow through. So the devil baited me with what God had already said. God had said, pray. God had said, go here, do that. So the minute we left out here in that storm, I felt it lifting. I felt it lifting. I felt it lifting. I felt it lifting. And then the Lord said, now just rest in this storm. Just rest. And Jose drove. Brother Joe was like the engineer. And they got us all the way to clear skies and sunshine. And I called Jessica to tell her that I wasn't here. I left. That I was in Florida. Because the first thing I was going to do, I was going down there to Florida. I was going to stand by that Gulf. Because I was trying to decide if I should go to, I got a spot in Daytona that I go and pray. But my friends had the men and women that needed the demons cast out over on the other side of Panama City. So I'm mad now. I'm going to pay. See, I always pay the devil back. I'm going to pay him back. So I'm going to go down here and I'm going to cast these demons out. I'm going to cast these demons out of these people down here. I'm going to let the devil know you ain't stopped nothing. Oh, yeah, I forgot one other thing. Before I left, there was a 911 call from somebody else. And this is the first time, I mean, a lot of stuff I teach and preach by faith. But there's a whole lot of things I experienced. And I knew that at the point of death, familiar spirits and demons have to have a body. They have to. You see, to a devil and a demon seeking rest is in somebody's body, tormenting the hell in them. That's their form of rest. So I get a call, and the interesting thing is, in this call, somebody had died, and I knew from dealing with the people that the person that had died had cursed and was using spirits of the dead, divination, necromancy. And they hated this person so much because of jealousy and envy. They had cut a deal. They tried to cut a deal with Satan to possess this person's soul, the demons. Well, Erica, where you get that from? Simple. It's in the Bible. Remember, there's only one time Jesus ever did what demons asked him to do in the whole Bible. There's only one time. Erica, are you making this up? No, I'm not. Remember when the man in Mark chapter 5, when Jesus said, what is your name? They said, my name is Legion, for we are many. And Jesus told them to go. Well, if you really study that, when Jesus first told them to go, they didn't go. He had to come back and tell them to go a second time. But they said to Jesus, send us into the pigs. Now, Jesus was telling them to go get out the man. And they said, send us into the pigs. And Jesus said, what? Go. Go on into the pigs. That's the only recorded area in the Bible where Jesus responded and did what demons asked him to do. So therefore, I know that when people can have a death wish in regard to demons, Satan can't answer that. That's a whole other teaching. That's why I teach people about people who say, you know, they dead, they died, and they came back. Well, let's find out what spirit empowered them to come back, because they have to have a body. So this person, I asked him a lot of questions. I said, what's happening with their body? Well, listen to this. When you die, you're going to have a last bowel movement. When you die, everything's going to come out. And it comes out, you know, you're going to have that excretion and what have you. And the person was having problems with paralysis, and I know what it feels like when the spirit's trying to come into a body, because I didn't experience that so many times. Because when you cast demons out, they're looking for a home. So God took that opportunity to deliver that man, because God had been trying to get to the man a long time, and God had a perfect opportunity. And as I'm listening to that demon coming out, and I'm listening to God, and I'm praying that that thing be contained, that it be contained, and that it be shut up in the pit until the day of judgment of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As I'm driving, as I'm riding, really, all that oppression began to lift. And it began to lift. And it began to lift. And it began to lift. So that when we got to Florida, all I had to do, and because I had the dogs with me, you know, a lot of places don't like animals, pets. So we found this motel room that was, well, I had made the reservation from here, but I didn't know where I was making it. I just made it from something off the internet. So, brothers and sisters, that motel that I booked was the motel from hell. As I'm checking in the room, I'm ministering to a girl about some cigarettes, and Brother Joe said he wished he had had a camera. That woman came to attention, and I was telling her, look, I'm standing there trying to check in the hotel, but I'm telling this lady, you shouldn't be smoking. You know, you're killing yourself. And then again, she started telling me about she smoked cigars, and I'm thinking, how am I going to reach this lady? I don't even know her, and I only have 5 minutes. But I told her something that was in her heart. And she started staring at me like, where you come from? We went on in checked in, and she was standing by the door. And she kept coming by the door. But I was so exhausted. All I could do, I had my own sheets with me. I laid the sheets on top of the bed. And I took the pillows off, because I ain't laying my head on no pillow in no motel with COVID. and I crashed. And as I crashed, God began to show me my life. He began to show me what I did wrong. He said, I did tell you you didn't have to go. I did tell you what to do with what I did tell you to ask them to send you the dirt. And the dirt's still sitting here in a box, all the packages. Now that I am free and exalted, free and on another level, free from the bondage of transference of spirit. Have I changed? Yes. Has my mission changed? No. It's the same mission. It's the same assignment. But I want to tell you something. When we went out there and I stood, actually, I sat. Because you see, in the Bible, when Jesus multiplied the fishes, the Bible says he told the people to sit down. He told the captains. It says that word, captain. And that's what I am. And that's what I, ETS, out the army as a captain. So he told the captains to tell the people to sit down on the green grass and eat. And he multiplied the fish. And he multiplied the bread. And then he said that when he was resurrected, when he, brothers and sisters, came and met his disciples, it was on the edge of the seashore. And he had cooked them fish and bread. He cooked for them. He said, go back home. Go back home, you're free. And you know how you used to do the miracle fish fries? I used to do miracle fish fries. I used to do them for the people on Skid Row in L.A. Because I picked up a guy that was from Morro Bay, California. And his daddy owned a fish processing plant and a whole slew of fishing boats in Morro Bay, California. And the first thing I saw when we got down there to Florida at the seashore was a fish processing place. And I said to Brother Joe, I said, look at that. So you see, sometimes, all the time, hear me this morning, God will use what may appear to be your adversity, because there's something he got for you to do that wasn't finished. And some of you, in this instance, it never started, because you haven't made full proof of your ministry yet. You're not delivered. You're not living in obedience to God because you still got some flesh issues. And guess what? We all got them. Ain't nobody exempt. We all got them. And the beautiful, merciful, wonderful thing about God, now how he does this is still amazing to me. How he can move you forward and at the same time correct your faults, correct your getting off the right path at the same time. And because he's such a merciful and kind and wonderful God, he don't even hold that against you. As he's correcting you and taking you forward and exalting you, and then he's cleaning up your past stuff at the same time. Whoa! Can't nobody do that but Jesus. So I got to tell something to the devil. I got to tell the devil something. Y'all bear with me for a minute. Devil! It didn't work! It did not work! I'm back! Free! From the bondage of oppression, suppression, repression, that will never turn into depression. Because depression ain't in the Bible. So you couldn't get me with that one. Brothers and sisters, you're in a war for real. You got to identify the works and the handiworks of the devil. Don't let him do that. He came with bait and switch. He switched God's original plan for me. I'm talking about for me. Some of you are come from rebellious backgrounds. He's going to use that against you. Don't let him. Oh, yeah, I forgot to tell you. He said, I did tell you you didn't have to go. I did tell you to get the dirt. I said, okay, God, why dirt? He said, because you and everybody else forgets that you're but dirt. He said, good dirt, holy dirt, fish dirt, cow dirt, you're but dirt in the hands of a holy God. So, brothers and sisters, I made it through. You can make it through. Because no weapon ever formed, they will be formed against you. They will always be formed against you. But it shall not prosper. Gone through. But you can rest assured. You can rest assured. In the midst of the storm, find Jesus, because he is inside of you, waiting for you to acknowledge him in the storm, and he will take you through it. He will utilize the tumultuous energy and the waves. And instead of running from it, run to it. God said to me, he said, there's going to be a split. He said, this thing, and I didn't hold it back. He said, this TV thing is going to cause a split in your ministry. I said, well, God, if it's going to split it, let's split it now, where it won't be but a little bit of damage. Let's split it now. Because see, brothers and sisters, I'm not afraid. I confront the devil. I ain't got to wait for him. If I see him, smell him, hear him, I'm going to confront him. I'm not going to wait for him to harm me. Let's get the fight. Let's get it on now. And let's see who's going to win. forgot one more thing. God showed me, you all know, Jose has been the instrument of a lot of pressing through a lot of really pain. But as we were coming up I-75, when we hit, we must have hit around Marietta, God began to show me Jose's life. He said, now, this is Jose's problem. I say, what? You see, Jose went to German school. He went to German school, I think, a German school. But his family was involved with Opus Dei. What? You went to Opus Dei? He went to the primary school of Opus Dei. If you don't know what Opus Dei is, brothers and sisters, it's involved with the Illuminati. And God began to show me that Jose was programmed. He was programmed for destruction, betrayal, deceit through the Catholic Church. And then it started clicking. It started clicking. Anything of God, he was programmed to destroy it. So you see, I've been dealing with that for 6, 7, 8 years. So you ain't got to worry about no devil. When you, listen to me carefully, I know you love God. God knows you love God. But what God want to know is, will you serve him for real? Will you serve him for real? It's servanthood. That's the problem. That's the area and the issue that most people have difficulty with. Hello? Servanthood. Hello? Can you still hear me on the blog talk? It's servanthood, brothers and sisters. He know you love him. What you willing to give up for him? What you willing to do for him just because you love him? It's servanthood. That's where the need is. Servanthood. Are you really, 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 really willing to serve him? It's servanthood. You can say you love your husband or you love your wife. Do you love them through servanthood? It's so much, but it all starts on the inside, because the devil work on the inside and he work on the outside. He work any way that he can to bring you out of servanthood. It's about servanthood. I'm not real certain right now that this blog talk is still working. But this is Erica Shepherd, Jesus Believers Church, Dalton, Georgia. You can reach me at 843-217-2246. Or you can email me at Jesus Believers. Nope. Jesus Believers got hacked. Jesus saves, delivers, heals. I don't know. I'm just so happy this morning. I'm just so happy. And guess what? I'm still free. I'm still free. That's what's very important. Don't lose your freedom. Don't lose your freedom.